You're listening to Extra Time, driven by Continental.
TMZ, oh my goodness.
I'll let Bobby Warsaw tell me how I did it.
I think he's the philosopher of football.
I'd like to have some more derbies.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I like it. I liked it a lot.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here!
From New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time, driven by Continental from the AT&T MLS studios in Midtown Manhattan. I am Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer, Matt Doyle, David Goss. It feels real good to be back. I feel like invigorated. I didn't feel it until I hit the mic, guys, and now I'm like, I'm juiced again. I had like 3 weeks of just no soccer, really, consumption.
Really?
It was just choo-choos, matchbox cars, and like wooden kitchen instruments for 3 weeks. And now I feel great. I feel it's good to see you. You're wearing matching shirts. It's just a wonderful day.
Yeah, we look like twins today. That wasn't even planned. So... help
always
us out.
Said.
I
text Rebecca every day and ask her what you're wearing. So.
I had no idea. Oh, look at that. Wiebe and I were texting right around New Year's, and we were talking about New Year's resolutions, and one of them is 200 days.
Telling me I'm not in your text group?
Yeah, well.
200 days of exercise in 2020.
Yes.
And so the question is, for Wiebe, if he goes to the park with his kid, and he like
what counts
is he's the goalie for half an hour, or he's like rebounding as his kid shoots hoops for half an hour, 45
minutes.
He can
neither kick a soccer ball or hit a hoop.
He can kick a soccer ball, but he's 2 years old, so 30 minutes is out of the question.
For sure.
Let's say I'm chasing around. What counts as rigorous exercise? And then we'll get into NYCFC. They hired a head coach, everybody. Miami, Chicago, Super Draft, Generation Adidas, rumors, signings, blah, blah, blah.
This seems like an easy fix. You purchase him a Fitbit or an Apple Watch, and that will record his exercise level.
I'm
and
here
then
for
you
this.
Will be able to record it.
And there is, you know, we need records. We need data.
We do.
Happy holidays.
We need the analytics.
There
thank you. I appreciate that. All right.
I'm like King Solomon,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, exactly. We come
you
to you.
Are
you're
so
like,
wise.
You know what? Tear the baby in half.
Cut it down the middle.
Like, no, don't do it. Like, you deserve the child. Okay. That was a little too much of a deep dive, I think. NYCFC have a head coach. His name, we think, is pronounced Ronnie Deila. Deila. We asked an actual Norwegian. It was a friend of noted Swedish producer Anders. Actually, yeah, it was a friend. He's coming over from Vålerenga in Norway. He just signed an extension there, reportedly through 2023, but... he's coming to Major League Soccer. He's 44. ESPN sold him as the Norwegian Jurgen Klopp, which is very interesting. That's a lot. That's a lot. This is not maybe the level of signing we might have expected.
Mm-hmm.
Giovanni Van Bronckhorst went to China. He got his bag.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a limit there on what coaches can make, pretty clearly. You may have seen the Deila viral video going around in which he strips down naked and tucks in his shorts as if he's wearing a thong after surviving relegation. I think it was like in 2010 in Norway, a quote that he had. A lot of people have probably seen me nude already, end quote. He is the only MLS manager I have seen in that state of undress. What do you think? He was at Celtic, won two league titles there, but when you're at Celtic, when Rangers were down and, you know, had all those punishments, then, you're going to win titles. Won a title in Norway, hasn't had the best 3 years at Vålerenga. Anders has a Norwegian source who said this to us about the hire. Quote, it's been clear since Christmas. For us fans, it's more than okay. It's been 3 years with no progress. That's a Vålerenga fan. I don't want to pour cold water on this one just yet because he has a great roster.
Well, also, let's say this. For NYCFC, one, it fits the way they've hired coaches, which is that they've gone and looked at younger coaches or coaches with less experience at a certain level and use NYCFC as a testing ground for those coaches, right? Domi Torrent, Patrick Vieira, and I guess you could say Jason Christ, but not in the same way. They also have a pretty deep network of contacts around the soccer world that they like to use in these situations. So it fits what they've done and also the last two times it's worked. So right now you have to say you have to give the benefit of the doubt to NYCFC, and he's coming into arguably a top three or four roster in Major League Soccer, one of the deepest rosters, and it was really hard when Domi Torrent came into a similar situation where Patrick Vieira had probably the best team in Major League Soccer. Domi came. It took him a while to get his fingerprints on it. He had to move a lot of pieces around, and it went down before it went up. But it ended on a really high. So
yeah, he took a 70-point team and ripped it apart for 30 games and then turned it into a 65-point team. So
but
really well done.
First place in the Eastern Conference.
No, first place, look, obviously.
They hadn't finished.
No, he ended up doing well.
He changed a lot of things.
He
we
did.
Questioned his changes, no doubt about that. You mentioned that City Football Group connection. Well, Dyla is a guy that they sent players on loan to when he was at Celtic. They've known him for a decade. David Lee, who's now heading things up there, said, well, look, we knew him. We understood him. We think he'll help develop players, but also get the best out of this team. Their first game is in 45 days in Costa Rica against San Carlos. He's got 6 days until preseason starts. Like I said, reportedly he had signed a new deal with Volarenga. So this doesn't, just going to make an assumption here, feel like the first choice, which we should probably all understand given the timing of this signing at this point. What's he got to do? What's he got to do with this team? Whether it be tactically, whether it just be accomplishments, straight up results. Like, he came in his interview as, we want to win titles. Well, yeah, of course you do. You have never won one. That's always the goal. What's he got to do? What can he do to make this team successful?
We were having this conversation in our pre-show. Like, we all think this is a top three roster in the league, right?
Yeah. I mean,
top five at worst. Yeah. And they have, you know, they're bringing back, I think, probably their 13 best players. So they have not only talent, they have stability. They have match winners everywhere. They have a youth academy that's starting to churn out really good talent. They're too deep at every spot. When you have a roster like this, you have to go out and win titles. NYCFC have been one of the best teams in the league the last 4 years. They have zero silverware. Like, that's the job. The job for Ronnie Dyla is to come in and is to win something, whether it's, you know, Supporter Shield, U.S. Open Cup, MLS Cup, maybe even CCL. He'll get his tests really, really early. But at the end of the year, if that trophy case is still empty, then it's been a failure. It's time. They've spent. They have a great roster. They were a 65-point team last year. You're supposed to win something now.
I'd say the one thing that Domi Torrents left for Dyla is a flexible team. An intelligent team, so there's space for him to work in that he doesn't have to crush something that's built and rebuild it. He can move within what Domi Torrent has built, because that was what Torrent focused on, the flexibility, and this is a roster you mentioned that's too deep and has players that can move around, that are comfortable in different positions, that are smart. So it should be an opportunity to come in and, you would hope, start to put things in place as the season goes along, but still be able to be successful along the way.
Is there what is sort of the, he says he's not going to change that much. He's like, I don't need to. I'll make tweaks. We want overloads in the wide areas. Yeah. He says all the things that you expect coaches to say. A lot of like sort of high end ephemeral details. They don't actually tell you too much about how he wants to play. Is this just a status quo deal? Like you said, Dave, like Domi Torrent set a certain foundation. Keep your foundation and just like build up a little bit gradually over time, because they don't really have time to do something completely new. You have 45 days until your first game. I don't know, maybe he's been devoting time to studying this team, but this seemed like it happened pretty quickly over the last 2 weeks or so. Do you try to make changes? You just say, hey, what were we doing before? Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it.
I mean, that's the approach I would take. I would say, like,
especially for CCL.
Yeah.
Like, maybe as you get into MLS, then you start to tweak things around.
Right. And he does have some stuff to figure out, because like James Sands was a starter the first two thirds of last year, then he got hurt, and like, okay, is he going to play that five? You know, it was like a 3-4-2-1 where Sands was really good in the central, you know, in the middle of it, or are they going to go to a more standard 4-2-3-1 or a 4-3-3? Sands doesn't necessarily have a spot if you do that, so that is some, like, that's enough to figure out. I don't think you try to overcomplicate things and. Do anymore.
No, especially for CCL, because you're basically rolling out Domi Torrent's team and hoping that it's good enough to win. Then once you get out of that and you start to get into MLS, you have some flexibility, I think, or you have some breathing room in that. At that point, LAFC will have already won the Supporters Shield, like in May. So you're not really going for that, and you can start to work on some things like we've seen some other clubs do and try and peak later in the season.
I'm here for the character aspect. I mean, I think the on-field stuff will sort of come as it may. They've got a good team. He's just got to not screw that up, at least for the time being, and add some stuff. He's clearly a character. It's the first time I've seen forearm tattoos in MLS head coach presentation photos. I mean, he has the naked, like, on-field antics. The reason why you call him Klopp is probably because he does some of these things on the field. So I'm here in the biggest city in the U.S. for him to come out and do some crazy stuff. Down for that. But is it underwhelming? I kind of beat around this bush. Diego Alonso comes in, big signing. A Thierry Henry, I mean, that doesn't have the head coaching experience.
Who cares? Winning matters.
Okay.
Who cares? Because I
you think it won't matter in New York City, at Yankee Stadium, with the fans that go there, with the fans that they're trying to attract? Does it not matter?
No. Winning trophies matters.
Yeah.
And if that's what gets you there, then that's all that matters. And I think we've seen in this league over the course, especially of the last 5-6 years, really exciting coaching signings and underwhelming ones. And at the end, whichever one's good is the one we're excited about. I would argue that there were probably a bunch of people around LAFC that were underwhelmed by Bob Bradley when he was the one that was picked. So I don't think that matters right now. What matters is if they can finally win their first trophy.
Yeah.
They've got the roster to win.
They do.
We'll see if Renny Dyla can get things rolling real quick. No time to waste for him. Bolarenga fans don't seem too disappointed. Maybe NYCFC fans will get the better of this one.
Inter Miami, Solomon though, again. Everyone
yes,
is happy.
I know. Inter Miami, though, I'm here for Diego Alonso. I love this signing. I think it's a great signing. I think he's done a little bit of everything with Pachuca and Monterrey. He's developed, but also won. And then he's won, but also maybe not met expectations with Monterrey, which is why he then didn't have a job.
I mean, he won CCL with Monterrey. What happened with Monterrey, and shout out to our guy Tom Marshall at ESPN, for he had a great breakdown on Diego Alonso. He took over about a year ago, and in the Clausura and then in CCL, he had Monterrey playing like Monterrey had played for years, which is like, okay, we're going to sit, we're going to absorb, and then we have these incredible athletes in our attack, and we're just going to get out on the break and annihilate teams in the open field. And if you're a Sporting Kansas City fan right now, you're probably having some sort of like traumatic moment. It was 10-0 over two legs.
Wasn't
because
Sporting. KC scored.
Yeah. Oh, 10-1. Okay.
Yeah, come on, man.
Sporting kept allowing them to do that, and it worked. But Diego Alonso wants his team to play a little bit more than Monterrey traditionally played. And in the Apertura, he tried to get on the ball a little more, tried to play through midfield, was going, you know, more of a 4-3-3 than a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-4-2. And it kind of worked in that they were in the playoff hunt, but they weren't in the playoffs. They weren't playing particularly well, and they just looked a little more fragile. And at Monterrey, the leash is short. It doesn't matter that you just won the regional championship 3 months previous. If the team's not playing well, your seat is hot, and they fired him. And they brought in Antonio Mohamed, and they went back to being a sit-and-counter kind of team.
And won the title.
And they just won the title. So, but, like, Diego Alonso has been flexible and he has been pragmatic, and like the failure at Monterrey, like contextualize it. It was he won the regional championship and then he tried to get his team to play good soccer and it didn't happen immediately. So he got fired. There are like three teams in North America where the leash is that short.
He won with Pachuca too. CCL.
Won a lot.
Yeah. I mean, and that was a team that was trying to develop and balance star power. It's a big club.
Yeah.
It's not an America, Tigres, Monterrey club, at least in this iteration of Liga MX.
His Pachuca teams, the star players were young academy players. Mm-hmm. And we could talk about
big time.
Well, we could talk. I was going to say, we could talk about Chucky now and say, oh, of course, you know.
Yeah.
But to give the reins to a player, even if you think he's going to be that good, where he was the captain, the central piece, and you had Guti and you had Pizarro, and that was their team. I think that's the biggest thing for Paul McDonough is he wants to sign young players, but he wants a team that's built around those young players. It's not just, we'll bring them in, we'll make them a little better, and we'll sell them all. He's signing designated players that are 22 and under. That's the core of the team he wants to build. Diego Alonso will trust that. So that fits with the ideology. Also, he's a name that's known across Central and South America. Those are the types of players that Inter Miami's trying to sign. So I think he has the respect.
So you don't think that they're going to sign a David Silva or a Luis Suarez or an Edinson Cavani or someone like that?
Maybe. But does that completely change who the manager?
No, no.
Oh, you're just saying what I was just saying. Yeah. No, I still think they're going to sign one of those at center forward.
At center forward?
Yeah.
You don't think they're going to give Carranza time to win the job?
I don't know. It sounds like they're going to sign. Every rumor outside of Silva is a center forward.
Yeah.
Roger or at least Martinez. The player that could push in there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm still a little bit confused about Inter Miami right now. You're asking that question. I thought we would know the answer to that question, or at least have a feel. You know, like the rumor train would start to pick up, and you'd be like, everybody just knows it's going to be this guy. Then Cavani goes and signs with Madrid, and you're like, okay, so it's not going to be him, and Luis Suarez feels a little bit ways away. It is not done.
Cavani's not
done. Oh, really?
Yet.
I thought it was finished. No. I'd wiped him off. I heard that rumor, and I was like, did I miss something? No. I thought that was done.
Yeah,
I
would very, very close.
I would honestly go for a second winger, like young DP type of player, like you know, the equivalent of Almiron, what he was 3 years ago, and then keep the powder dry on the third DP until summer. Because, like, what if Carranza is awesome? I mean, they spent money on him. He has a great reputation in Argentina. And if you sign Luis Suarez or Edinson Cavani, you're never going to see him play again. I know they have said we're going to use all three in the winter.
And maybe that's the carrot, too, because they want to be a club that attracts the next Miguel Almirón. They hope that Pellegrini's that Carranza is that. And that carrot is, watch, here's 6 months. We know we have expectations, but it's an expansion season.
But you also have to think about this. The profile of player we're talking about, it's January 6th. They are on a contract with a large team, probably in Europe, so their window just opened. So the fact that they haven't signed that yet does make some sense, because the profile of player they're looking at, the window that they're working in, is happening right now. So now you signed your coach. Now you have a month to make that signing, whatever it was.
And technically, by the way, the MLS window hasn't even opened. MLS window doesn't open until early February.
Right, and I think it'll stretch through May, usually that
Yeah,
one,
late
sometime
April,
in May.
Early
so all the talk you hear on Twitter or elsewhere that's like, oh my God, Seattle Sounders haven't signed a single soul, or like, this team hasn't been active. Well, usually you don't start to see it heat up until a little bit later. How should he play, Diego Alonso? Should he go? Should this be a counterattacking team? Should you simplify it and just say, like you kind of did with Dyla, results, results, results? Like, come out and get results. You don't have right now a roster that has a ton of star power. They signed Juan Agudelo. They signed Roman Torres. Both of those guys are, you know, have their positive sides and have the flaws that have been exposed over the years. They're not players that you would expect to come in and be like, hey, best 11 candidate right here, solid contributor. Sure, I could see it, but right now Inter Miami has a lot of solid contributor or value interleague moves, and not necessarily outside Pellegrini and Carranza splashes.
Yeah.
Well, how do you play? How does that mesh with the expectations of Inter Miami and David Beckham and the sexiness that I think people just sort of like connected to this club and everything that they've done?
So Paul McDonough said, I think last week or 2 weeks ago, to probably Paul Tenorio, that, you know, they have 7 open international roster slots. We've just talked about all the DP, you know, they have 2 DP slots open.
He's been very open about the fact that he's going to slow play this.
Yeah.
That he's not going to rush into anything.
And
that your pace is not going to be his pace.
So much allocation money. Like, they've barely dipped into that at all. So saying, like, how are they going to play right now? Like, with this roster, you would have to sit deep. You just would, because like, you don't have the type of midfield that can get pressure to the ball and compact the field on the front foot. Like, I love Jay Chapman. I think Victor Ulloa is great.
I love that Jay Chapman was the
first one, man.
It was like the entire roster just scanning up and down. Bam, Jay Chapman.
You know, Giorgio Costa was good for the US U-17s a few years ago. And these are all really interesting, fun names, but none of them jump out at you as like, wow, as a defensive difference maker, we got to press. So I would think that they would... You know, if they're going to be a possession team, it would almost look like Columbus was a few years ago, where it was mid-block, stop the ball, get on the ball, knock it around. But I think more likely it would be more direct type of approach. But it's almost like...
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows, one, because of the roster, and then two, we know big players are going to come in, so how much work can he really do in the preseason to be ready, because when are those guys a part of this?
Right.
It's like Bob Bradley had them working in their shape for 6 weeks straight with the exact players who then stepped on the field and played 12 straight months together when LAFC started.
No,
Diego, what do you mean?
They made a ton of changes over the course of that year. That was the thing about LAFC in 2019, was they made their 2019 moves during the summer of 2018. And the second half of 2018, they had like a new roster, but basically that was 2019 LAFC's preseason.
But they had their difference maker. They had the guy they were
building.
At the very least, they had Vela. I mean, they go and get Dio. What, they went and got Atuesta that summer, too, I think it was. Nah, I'm just going to have to go to the MLS transactions page. David Silva is the name that people keep linking. I mean, I think it's from like the Daily Mail or something like that. So it's super sketchy that he's out of contract in the summer. That would seem to make
He's a name
a lot of sense.
He's a name I've heard linked to this team like for over a year now. But again, it's the same thing as Suarez and Cavani. Like, you just, you hear those names over and over again. I think they end up with one of them this summer. I think, honestly, I think that's why guys like Lee Wynn, Jay Chapman, and George Acosta are on this team, because those are three guys who can, in theory, and we know in fact with Lee Wynn, play attacking midfield in this league at a pretty high level. And you keep that spot warm for half a year, and then you bring David Silva in and you make him the number 10. And you have that and two DP wingers and hopefully Carranza, but maybe Daryl Dike if he's the number one pick in the draft, you know, a good young forward, and then you're cooking.
How hard is...
What? Go ahead.
David Silva at 32, 33?
33, yeah.
Is going to go from playing a full year in the Premier League to Miami in the middle of July and then play another half season or whatever. More power to him.
Yeah.
He's definitely exercising 200 days a year.
I'm definitely not there. I'm like, every move I make hurts right now. So I'm not on the David Silva train. I said in my very much too early predictions column that I thought Miami would get more points this year than Nashville. Do you think I'm crazy for saying that? Or is that pretty conventional wisdom?
Right now, I would disagree with you.
Interesting.
Yeah. Nashville has a team.
I'm not saying they don't. I didn't. The reason I picked against Nashville was I felt like the Western Conference is better and deeper, where there's a lot more questions in the East, and they got to travel more. They're going to have to be doing a lot of time zone jumping east to west.
But I think a lot of that is, you're talking about the margins, where right now there's a difference between the two clubs. Right? If you were to say they were equal, that those would be reasons why Nashville would get less
points. Do you think Nashville has a better...
They have a soccer team right now.
What? Inter-Miami doesn't? I mean, they've got like 23 guys on the roster. It's not like they don't have anything.
We're talking about a dude who played in the U-17 World Cup a few years back and then played at Austin Bold last year. Like, is Jerome Kisevetter going to start on this team?
It's fair. AJ De La Garza was out for a long time. We don't know. He's, you know, I love him.
So, like, there are almost no guarantees in this roster. Where on the flip side, you look at Dax McCarty, you look at a few of the guys along the back line, Daniel Lovitz.
Dave Romney some love right now.
You have some guarantee. Beautiful eyes, great eyes.
Yeah.
You have some guarantees in Nashville, and you're going to have time to work with it all together. So,
we'll see. Inter Miami, though, have a head coach, Diego Alonso. I am a big fan of this, and we'll see how it turns out. I'm happy to be in a league where Diego Alonso is a guy that people are like, oh, that's kind of disappointing.
I think
that's not quite, we thought it would be better.
Can I just say in general, because a lot of coaching vacancies have been filled over the last, seven weeks where we haven't really been on. In general, all of it's exciting. The people that are being brought into this league to work, the former players from this league that are being promoted and given opportunities, the sometimes assistant coaches being given head coaching jobs. Like, it is exciting to look at the head coaches in this league.
So how excited are you then for Rafa Wicki with the Chicago Fire?
Chivas USA legend. Let's the goats go. Live yeah. on.
So I think you have,
by the way, Bob Bradley.
Oh.
Robin Frazier.
Yeah.
Jim Curtin's a Chivas.
Greg Vanney. Rafael Wicki.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chivas USA.
Are we missing any others?
I'm trying to think if there's any other connections that would have bounced through.
So Wilmer would have been, but he's not anymore.
But he's Wilmer's on gone. He's on Poppy's stuff in
is he?
I thought so.
I didn't see that.
Maybe I made that up.
Yeah. You're trying to.
But he was originally on Pareja's staff in Colorado.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't.
Yeah, if you find any Chivas USA connections, we don't even need 3 degrees of Chivas. No. It's just like one every single time. Rafa Wicki's the head coach. In case you did not listen to the episode before we went on holiday break, George Heitz is the sporting director from Basel, and then the technical director is Sebastian Pelzer. And it feels like at least it's a good thing that they're all on the same page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that they want to work together, that they have previous relationships. Wicki was the head coach at Basel for 1 year. They've produced some very good players.
Produced very
past.
Good players and played good soccer and probably punched above their weight using young players. And one of the things is Chicago has so much talent in their area, and you'd love to see them utilize that academy at the next level, like push it even farther, get to somewhere where Dallas is at potentially, while also spending money.
Yeah.
Because that's the dream scenario. It's like huge city, you're bringing guys in like a Chicharito, like a Lewandowski, and then partnering them with kids out of your academy.
Which we haven't really seen. I don't think we've seen done effectively yet. I mean, LAFC are trying to do it. The Galaxy have tried to do it. They seem to be on the forefront, but it never really seemed to mesh and work out. Red Bulls haven't spent that much money. Dallas haven't spent that much money. So to be at the top of the spending, well, they have to spend it first, right? We can talk about Chicago as a spending club.
Don't you think Toronto's done that, though? They spent a lot.
Okay, who's the academy player who's truly
Oso?
Made? Yeah, it's Oso.
Right?
But that's the one, right?
Right.
Sorry, and then like they've had a lot of guys who have been useful at times. Like Ashton Morgan was there for a long time. He was pretty useful.
Raheem Edwards played 12 games. Yeah. It was a big deal on this show.
I mean,
this might be the year for Toronto with Akello and Frazier. But,
okay. Yeah. So Toronto might be close. But everybody is sort of like trying to get there. Now, I said Chicago will have to spend the money they have in the past. They don't have any DPs right now. They have 18 players under contract. The big signing from the offseason is Alvaro Medrán, who you probably don't know his name, but
people might. He played legit at Valencia.
Yeah.
Over the last few years. He's a guy in his prime. He's probably in this league in eight. Maybe you play two pseudo tens and he plays in there, but he can cover ground, clean on the ball. This was a low-key good signing, considering no one knew who was making the signings and what was going on.
But it's really the only thing they've done. Yeah. Right. It's the only one. So now
he's got 77 La Liga games.
Yeah, no. I'm not saying he's a bad player. I'm just saying your average extra time.
On Alvaro Medrán.
Well, how many of you out there, extra time listeners, raise your hand right now if you've heard of Alvaro Medrán. Like, I'll be honest. I hadn't when he signed. Not watching enough Valencia. I'm sorry.
I bet Paul Salazar had.
Paul Salazar has. Definitely. Big Valencia guy around these parts. And a DC fan, too. We got some interesting rumors for them coming up. But Rafa Wicki, Chicago Fire, excitement level, again, doesn't matter. You got to win.
I don't want to say excitement. I think more
competency
interest.
Level.
Interest.
How about that?
Interest because what he did in Switzerland with that team, getting them to the round of 16 in the Champions League. He was their academy coach for a while, and we all have kind of felt like Chicago sitting on a gold mine of talent, and they just have not ever dug for it. And like, there are already reports out there that he has sat down, and him and Heights have sat down with Mauricio Pineda, who's an academy product. And like, I think they should have signed this kid when he was 16, and he's been arguably the best player in college for 4 years, top three player in college for the past 4 years. So if they can get him, they just signed
the Slolina brother.
Yeah, the Slolina, yeah,
the center back. Yeah,
yeah. There's a like, so that like I am really interested to see if he could make it work. The excitement level, it's tough to gauge because like I don't actually remember watching that team that he coached. And
what about the USU-17s? I mean, that's where
they were amazing in CONCACAF qualifying. They were amazing. Like, they had that kind of rough first game, but then they played glorious soccer like right up to the final in the first 45 minutes against Mexico, and that they were so much better than Mexico. And of course they couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, and Mexico ended up getting like a golazo winner in the second half, but like they played great. And then in the actual World Cup they were terrible. They were just brutally bad. But I don't know, that's 6 months with children. I don't want to judge too much based upon that. I am intrigued. Like, on the face of it, this is very, like, there's an obvious reason why you would hire someone with this pedigree to coach an MLS. He checks a lot of boxes, and same with Heights as the GM. And if they can sort of integrate, as you said, these two aspects of roster building where you're going to go out and you're going to get one or two big name stars, but you're also going to do the Red Bulls or the Philly thing and build from within and take, you know, $50,000 players and turn them into $500,000 players. To me, that seems like the way to not only win, but to make money.
And one little piece for him is he's been around. We joked about him playing at Chivas, but he's followed MLS and now he's worked in this country. I've seen him at youth tournaments. I've chatted with him at GA Cup and listening to him talk about soccer, but also he knows what the MLS world looks like. So it's not coming in cold, which I think will help because the guys above him are. So I think it'll be good to have someone who sort of understands things. One of the things we talked about before we came on is, you know, they don't have a complete roster right now.
Mm-mm.
But if you were to tell me, let's just say in abstract, you're going to assign three designated players for an MLS team. What are the positions you're going to sign? Those are the things they're missing. They have other pieces around it. So if you were to say, we're going to bring in
a 10, a winger,
and a center back, or a legit center mid, a winger, and a 10, whatever it is. They have a guy in CJ Sabang who scored goals in MLS. They have some experienced defenders. They've got Jordi Mihailovic in midfield. They brought in, as we said, Medrán in central midfield.
It's a big year for Georgie, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, and that's where it'll be interesting with the DP.
Right.
Is it a winger, and they let him get a shot there? Does he get pulled a little deeper, and they sign a 10? Is he not a starter when the season starts, and he has to win his spot? But in the great words of the one and only Bobby Warshaw, there are no rebuilds in Major League Soccer. It happened when Schweinsteiger came. If you bring in the right DPs at the right time with this group, you can be competitive year one.
Looks a little bit, at least in profile, kind of like Velkopanovic in some ways. I mean, he did have the year with Basel, but youth, you know, youth work with the academies at Basel. And then he's with the U.S. U-17s. Yep. And that's kind of where Velka was, with a little bit more success with that U-20 World Cup win. But he was familiar. He was, I assume he was in Chicago, because you got to be in Chicago to be a youth U.S. Are there any of those left, by the way? Are they?
I don't know. Jason Christ, no, but he lives in Miami.
But he lives in Miami. Fortunate for Jason.
Coming this month.
Okay. I believe it went.
Lauren Harvey.
There you go.
Yeah, that one got done.
One.
Yeah, that one got done. Well, we'll see what happens with the Fire, but we certainly are waiting for a big signing.
Maybe he's out here fishing for a job.
Yeah, right?
Am I? I'm trying to stay here, man. Anyone who has sublet an apartment, you know, if things don't work out for
landlord Andrew.
Yeah, other people. Don't call me that word. All right, let's talk Super Draft. I didn't mention this off the top, but you're going to be upset with us maybe if you've been jonesing for extra time over the last 3 weeks or so. We're not going to be here on Thursday. That's because the Super Draft is going down. I think, Doyle, you're in Bristol.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in Miami.
Wow.
Yeah,
you get to go to Miami, and I go to Bristol, Connecticut.
Yeah, well, you're a big Connecticut
guy. Yeah, but you're from Connecticut. Yeah,
I just spent a week there, guys.
that sounds like an
oasis. So it's like, you know, you just go right back to your old habits. Meanwhile, the first time in my life, I'm going to Miami. Should be fun. 12:30 p.m.
You've
Eastern.
Never been to Miami.
I've never been to Miami. Do I strike you as a Miami guy? Because no. I wouldn't think so.
No, yeah, not in the slightest. No,
not at
You'll
all.
Be dead.
Yeah. I'm going to give me any advice. You just go ahead and send
the
it
The first
to
thing you do when you get off the plane is you buy some sunscreen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like a.
You'll be sitting in a hotel the whole day, and you will still somehow be sunburned.
And sweaty, probably. 12:30 p.m. Eastern on Thursday, Super Draft. You can watch it on the ESPN app, ESPN's YouTube, ESPN's Facebook, ESPN's Twitter. It's all there. It's a little bit different this year in that sense. I don't think there's not a big draft room this year. So that's kind of the big difference, where we'll have coverage kind of bouncing around to draft picks, to kind of like, you know, situation rooms where they're making the picks, to analysts like Doyle in beautiful Connecticut. So tune into that one, 12:30 p.m. Eastern. Inter Miami have the two of the first three picks. Am I right?
Yep,
one and three. Nashville have two. And then you can get all the breakdown at MLSsoccer.com for all that. We do have some signed seniors in the Generation Adidas class. Two defenders in the GA class, two defenders in the signed seniors class, which is what you kind of expect from the seniors. Dylan Nealis from Georgetown just won a title. He is the brother of Sean Nealis, who's with the Red Bulls. Tanner Beeson from Stanford. Henry Kessler from Virginia. Jack Mayer from Indiana. Any of those stand out to you, Doyle? And I'll let you handle this, because straight up college soccer,
I think
don't have time.
I think Mayer's going to be the first overall pick. He's a pretty big and relatively athletic and very commanding center back. He's a communicator. He's played with the U.S. U-20s. He was excellent for Indiana for 2 years. I suspect he'll go number one. If he doesn't go number one, he will go number two. Kessler is even bigger. He's like 6'4". He was very good for Virginia. And Virginia, for the first time in like 25 years, actually tried to play soccer this year and did it very well. And Kessler was a part of that. I think he's a little – he's not as polished as Mayer. But he could be the number two or the number three. I don't see him dropping past three, I don't think. Dylan Nealis, a very good attacking right back, like a
Keegan Rosenberry.
I don't think he's as good as Rosenberry.
Interesting.
Rosenberry's such a good passer. Nealis is maybe more just about getting into the final third, and but like maybe I missed that. It's tough to tell sometimes with college soccer. Tanner Beeson is a left back or a left center back. He's a weird one. I'm not like I think he's maybe decent at both, but not good enough at either. He might just project as kind of a backup.
Winger Ryan Raposo from Syracuse. He's a Canadian. Mm-hmm. Got a good story. And Robbie Robinson scored a bunch of goals for Clemson.
I think there's a chance that Robinson could go as high as number two. If he hadn't gotten injured a bunch during his college career, I think he would already be in MLS. If you watch him play, he checks the boxes as an athlete, but also like his movement in the box. He's aggressive. He gets those one-touch finishes, but he can combine as well. If you look at his goal reel from this year for Clemson, like every type of goal he scored them all. But what I really look for with center forwards is, can you combine and can you get to the near post and score at the near post with a one-touch finish? And he seemed to be able to do both of those things.
Ivis Glarsep is reporting that Daryl DK, who we've talked about a number of times on this show, Virginia forward, the younger brother of Bright DK, who you'll remember from his days in MLS, is close to a generation Adidas steal as well. If he signs that deal, Doyle, would you change your opinion?
Yeah.
Would he push up into number one? Or
if DK signs, then Daryl DK will go one or two. And
do you think someone trades up for Inter to take him? Or do you think Inter would take him one?
I think Inter would take him one. I think there's a chance.
Are we going to call them just Inter?
I don't know. I just did that.
It just felt funny.
It felt weird. What do you want me to call them, Miami?
I don't know.
I like calling them Inter.
Miami.
I like calling them Inter.
Okay. Let us know.
You know what? You go down to Miami this week.
That's true.
Beating the bushes.
You know.
Man on the ground reporting.
Sam and Paul call it reporting.
Yes.
I'll go do my best.
No, Sam's rumors. Paul's reporting.
Yes. Thank you. But DK... If you look at, he scored a bunch of goals this year in a bunch of different ways. I don't think he is as goal hungry in terms of his movement in the final third as Robinson is. He needs to polish that, but he's much better in combination play. Some of his passing vision, his patience and ability to let the play unfold and then make a killer pass. And he's just physically... I mean, he's a linebacker.
Yeah, he looks just impossible to deal with.
But he doesn't
lumber in any way. The times I've watched him, and I mostly did just watch Charlie Davies on ESPN Plus, he was very light on his feet.
Light on his feet, and
I had to get, you know, just
it was funny that you
it.
Started this whole thing with college soccer. I don't have time for it. And then I just remembered how often you texted me about college soccer. Yeah. It's small.
Well,
and I was like, why did he say that?
Not enough time to be like, oh, Daryl DK is this, that, and the other.
But, oh, Doyle's never seen any of these guys play.
Oh.
He just rips from the head.
How about some guys we have seen play? While we were gone, the signing that piqued your interest the most, and I will start this one out because it's the most recent. Yimmy, we're getting another Chara brother. Let's go. Two of them on the same team.
Is it
Portland
Yimmy
Timbers.
Or is it Yimmy?
I don't know, but I like Yimmy better.
All right.
We'll figure
it out. Came off the break.
Nailed it. How could it be Yimmy? I don't know. $6 million, Atletico Mineiro, right, in Brazil?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of money.
A lot of money,
28 years old, doesn't have the best goal-scoring record historically. But I'm just thinking about one thing, which is Diego picking up a 50-50, top of the 18, sidestepping a guy, shouldering a guy, taking off, two-man fast break, just smiles.
Imagine being a defender trying to run with that.
Yeah. Oh, just the two brothers just really running somebody over in Portland. We need that highlight, and I hope they deliver it to us. I'm less sold on it being like $6 million, yes. But TBD.
Yeah. I mean, like, maybe he even overperforms that number. The story here is, like, you're getting a fringe Colombian national team player, which is a top 10 team in the world, in his prime, at a position of need. And he's, like, he doesn't produce a ton of goals and assists, but his teams have generally been really, really good. And every team he has left, the fans think fondly of him. So I think if you have him and you have Valeri and you have Blanco and then whoever the forward is, whether it's Obobese or whether, I mean, there are rumors that they're going to bring in a Polish forward as well.
Who's leading the league there in scoring right now?
So they're going to have some weapons and they're going to have some depth, and it's going to be interesting to see how that fares in a Western Conference that, as you pointed out earlier, it's stacked.
I feel dumb. Jimmy.
Jimmy.
It's J-E-E-M, all caps, and then M-E-E.
Okay.
Jimmy.
Jimmy.
I think, yeah. Jimmy.
We got to get Carlos out.
Yeah, we gotta get some help on that one. What about you guys? What do you think?
Signing I'm excited about?
Yeah.
Well, so we talked about it right before we left, but we didn't really delve into it as much as I would have liked to. I think Lucas De La Rayon at Columbus is pretty exciting.
Columbus is the team that I'm the most like.
Oh, I just read your little bold predictions.
Low-key excited about it. And I didn't know that Doyle had also written that like 2 days before, and then I felt a little bit like a poser. But I'm happy to know that somebody else is looking at Columbus thinking this could be really fun.
Well, they've basically retooled half their team
yeah.
compared to the starting lineup from the last game of 2019. And I think he's a player who's going to fit in well. I'm excited to watch him and Nagbe play together. Mm-hmm. Two guys who cover a ton of ground, who want to connect, short passing. He's got more goals than him, obviously. I think everyone does. Than Nagbe. So it'll be exciting to watch him a part of this. And it's just one of those things in talking about Chara, right? He should have been in the league 4 years ago. Like he should have. And now you look at guys like Zellerayan who come in and just raise the level of quality in this league. The other one we're going to talk about in a minute, which I'm so excited about in rumors, is Edison Flores. That's a guy, he's 25. Chara should have been in the league when he was 25 in Mexico, playing at the level he was playing at. It seemed like an obvious move. And now Zellerayan is that type of guy where you're like, oh yeah, Tigres signed 45 good players. I think we could trim the five off there and bring them into Major League Soccer.
Did anybody see the interview he did with Columbus Crew website?
I did not.
In which the backdrop, and please just go to my solo here and just, producer Anders.
Wow.
That is Jesus with his medals hanging around his neck. And the number 8 turned into pictures of him and his family while he wears a puffer vest. I mean, it's an incredible, the backdrop is the best backdrop I've ever seen. And he's a great player. Like, dead balls, very good. Yep. Didn't seem to have, like, Tuca didn't seem to love him. Mm-hmm. Didn't play him a ton. When he did play, he showed a lot of sort of the qualities that you look for in MLS for that number 10. Sort of, hey, like, almost Pozuelo-like in some senses.
So I think it's less like Pozuelo. I don't think he's, like, pure magic. Like, Pozuelo does stuff where it's like, how did he see that? It's almost more like Maxi Morales, where he's he's conducting the game and he's covering so much ground.
He's everywhere.
Yeah.
He's always the next pass. Yeah. And then it's off his foot quickly, and then he's still the next pass the next
pass. Yeah. So I think it's a fantastic signing by Columbus. And I think him and Nagbe. And then the question is, Will Trapp, Artur, it looks like they're going to be signing Aiden Morris, who was the best freshman in college soccer this year, is with the USU 20s. They're going to get him as a homegrown, and he's a ball-winning defensive midfielder. They're going to have real depth there to the point where, like, maybe one of these guys gets sold or traded.
Yeah. Can I throw one last little one in before going to
Luis Diaz, Pedro Santos, who had the huge year, and I'm telling you right now, Jesse Zardes is going to win the domestic Golden Boot.
My goodness.
The domestic one, not the overall one. The domestic one.
Okay. Is domestic's just U.S. and
just
Canada?
Just U.S. and Canada.
Okay.
El Tanque could be there. Josie, I hope he proves me wrong, but that's a prediction for you.
So you made me do signings. My other one that I want to throw in was Fafa Pinto.
What about Mason Choi?
Oh, right. We'll address that when we get our Minnesota United flag. By the way, thank you, Minnesota United, for sending us a lot of gear.
Those Minnesota United shoes?
And also a ransom note.
Nice. Can I see
MLS.
Those shoes real quick?
On there. Yeah, they're pretty sweet. They're
I
pretty
didn't even notice
what size
that when I walked in.
What size shoe do you wear?
10 and a half, 11.
What are those?
I have to talk to my people there. We did not get your shipment in yet. We got Kalen Carr's. Those are mine.
Look at them. They've got the
wings on them. What about Alexander Katai? Anybody jacked about that one? To the Galaxy?
I don't think I'm jacked, but it's smart, right? The thing about getting Katai at presumably the number that they got him at, which I would guess is maybe around $1 million. It's like a mid-TAM level. Like, you know, like, he's a sure thing. You know what he's going to produce in terms of expected goals and assists per 90 in MLS. You know that he could balance you on either wing. And so, you know, him on one side and Pavone on the other. That gives you, and along with the midfield, central midfield quality they have, that gives you so much freedom to just go out and find the right DP number 9 to fill Zlatan's shoes. So I just think, like, if you had brought in another winger from elsewhere and you had another number 9 from overseas, you're dealing with so many variables, guys who maybe definitely haven't adjusted to life in MLS. And we have heard for time immemorial, coming to this league is different. The travel is different. Playing on different surfaces, different altitudes, different climates. It's unlike anything else in the world. So having a guy who's been through that for a couple years and you know is productive and is in the prime of his career, it just made so much sense. And it was nice to see the Galaxy front office make such a sensible move.
I would argue he's a match winner in MLS if you have another match winner on the field. with Chicago, with defensive focus on him, he wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
He couldn't do it every game, but Pavone's the best player on the field.
Yep.
Jonah's the second best player. You've still got Legette, whatever number nine. He can make plays to win you games with all of those guys on the field. And as you said, it's a guarantee because of his production.
And I'll say the best move in L.A. right now, and it's just breaking, our good friend Alicia Rodriguez just announced that she's been picked up full-time by SB Nation. So congrats
hey,
to you,
there
Alicia.
It is.
Alicia.
There it is.
Very happy for that.
So, yeah, that's not a rumor anymore.
Chivas USA again. Goats are on parade.
How many connections can we make with the goats? I got to go get my Chivas USA jersey from the other room. How about rumors? These aren't done. But there is one Edinson Flores to D.C. Maybe Brian Lozano to D.C. I mean, Pablo Maurer.
Yes, I think there's a chance D.C. United wins
Luka
the World
Modric?
Cup.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pablo just dropped that D.C. have been. I haven't even had a chance to read the article yet because it dropped right at the start of the show that Luka Modric and D.C., their people have been in discussions for a while now. He wants to come to the U.S. It's something that could happen this summer.
Do we think it's a bakery, coffee shop? What do you think his game is? It would be epic. It would be amazing. I love Edinson Flores. First of all, he's versatile. So to bring him in first gives you the flexibility to bring other guys in because he can play as a 10. He can play out wide. He's quick. He works hard. So he's going to be committed to whatever it is Ben Olsen needs him to do outside of just attacking. Hence, Lucho Acosta losing all of his playing time at some point under Ben Olsen. He's a legit goal scorer when he gets in spots, but he can also set guys up. He's not a speed demon who's going to open up the game completely, but he's going to destroy some MLS defenders. There's going to be a wild highlight reel at the end of this year of him if he signs. If he signs.
It sounds like Flores is going to. And Brian Lozano feels like more on, probably not.
I don't think the Lozano one is going to happen. I would be surprised if the Lozano one happened this window. And I'm not sure he makes a ton of sense for DC.
So you could bring him in and you'd play Flores at the 10. You'd play him on one wing and Assad on the other. Although,
but do you push Areola back to like right back?
Oh, I forgot they even had Paul Areola.
Yeah.
I guess Assad's on.
Do you play Areola in central midfield? They tried that at times
last year.
Well, you
could put Assad on the bench.
You could
do that. And just say we have the best fourth man. The one thing for this team is Ola Kamara will score goals in Major League Soccer, but he won't create them.
Right.
So you need people to set him up.
Correct.
Absolutely.
Flores and Lozano would be one of the top players in Major League Soccer if he came in. They would be a better team than they were last year if all of this gets done. In terms of, talk about losing Rooney and Acosta.
Yeah.
It's a huge improvement to bring both these guys in.
Unquestionably.
And Ola. I think that's, and Assad. Like, you have to put it all together and say the sum of those parts is above what you had last year.
And you got to, if you're Ola Kamara, you got to be loving this because it seems like his... Other than that one year he had in Columbus, his entire MLS career, he's always been in a situation where, like, in L.A., he had to play on the wing. You know, last year he comes in and, like, okay, he's kind of the center forward, but Wayne Rooney's there too. Yeah. And it's like there was never balance. There was never clarity. In this one, it's going to be like, Ola, just get in the box and score goals. Yeah. Put the ball in the net. And if that's the same, like, even with just Flores, like, let's say he's the only one they add this window, which – that's where my money is. You're still looking at a midfield that's going to move the ball and create a lot of chances. Yeah. Like, Assad, I love Yamil Assad. Flores is great, and like he's another guy who for years I've been saying MLS teams should sign him. Paul Areola, we know he's not the most creative winger in the world, but he creates chances because he wins the ball and progresses it quickly. So if you are a smart center forward who likes to run off the back shoulder, you can take advantage of that. And then they had, like, Junior Moreno was good last year. Felipe, he's he's an enigma, but when he's good, he creates. So suddenly,
and you have a healthy Morris starting the year because remember he was out for months
and
last year.
What happens in the summer if, let's say, Russell Knauss, who people are saying could go to Germany, goes to Germany, and that's the time you bring Luka Modric over, and he's your deep lying playmaker, and those four up front just get to have fun. And just know if they find any space at all in wide areas, it'll be on their foot.
It's pretty
good.
Could be
fun. Could be TBD.
I think so. You have in the rundown what team are you most worried about? We'll talk about that.
No,
but wait, before we get there, every team feels that way. Like, I feel DC United fans were off a cliff 7 weeks ago, and now there's the chance that they're, like, arguably the best team.
Now they're, like, teasing out news, and it's like,
they're
okay,
like, which Champions League player
exactly.
will we sign?
And you know what? I'm going to go, speaking of Champions League, I say bring all our CCL ghosts back. So my favorite rumor right now is the Dorlan Pabon to Inter Miami rumor. They're just, like, cycling through fast, physical. Could they be center forwards? Could they be wingers from Liga MX right now, as far as rumors go? Doesn't feel like it'll probably happen.
But the one thing is, Alonso coached him at Monterrey.
Yeah, for sure.
So they have that connection.
He was pretty good during that period.
He was.
He's also, what's the word to use? He's portly.
In the best way.
He doesn't normally run.
In the best way.
He doesn't normally run a ton.
Yeah, but when he does run,
it's great.
It's like an F1.
But that's one of the reasons he shoots from everywhere, so that he doesn't have to get to a spot to shoot from. It would be fun because he's a fun player. I think that there would be a medical risk in the heat of Miami that Dorlan Pabon just drops in and has to go 90 minutes. But I love him.
Another
he crushed Liverpool in the World Cup in the Club World Cup.
He was awesome.
He's really good. He's really good. Alfredo Morelos, he is at Rangers. He scored a ton of goals there. Maybe linked to the LA Galaxy. We'll see if they can get a center forward. How about that team for?
Because who's their starting center forward right now?
I don't know.
It's Ethan Zubac. If you look at their depth charts, depending on what formation they choose.
Zlatan made his debut for Milan. Wasn't the El Trafico debut that he had for the Galaxy. Not quite the same.
That's the one soccer game you've watched in the last 3 weeks?
I didn't watch it. I just saw some highlights of it. What team ought to have some real concern right now? And is it Atlanta United? They're losing LGP, it looks like, to Tijuana.
You make the case for why it's Atlanta United.
I'm going to say the reason why you would be a little bit panicked if you're Atlanta United is because you seemingly had this very stable, forward-looking core under Tata that was only going to grow. Joseph Martinez had become and would continue to be the best goal scorer in Major League Soccer. He probably still will be. Ezequiel Barco was a young player you spent big money on who maybe didn't give you the most in year one, but was going to take big, big steps and then get sold off for, I don't know, let's say like $30 million, what they're saying they want right now. Pity Martinez was going to go from being combable player of the year to MLS
MVP.
Yeah, MLS MVP. It was going to be seamless. He was going to walk in. You were going to do it in CONCACAF Champions League. If you didn't do it last year, which they didn't, it would be this year because you would have a year to grow into it. And you had a core of experienced MLS players, maybe the best center back duo in the league in LGP and Miles Robinson. Brad Guzan, a rock between the posts back there. Julian Gressel was going to be happy. Darlington Nagbe was going to be there. And now a lot of those things have started to change.
Turnbull,
you don't have
none of those
back.
Guys play on the team, and Emerson Heinemann's their big sign.
Right. And then, like, Vialba, who was a absolute stud year one, has been a decreasingly valuable
one
asset
goal.
To you, like, yeah. and elsewhere as well, although I think he would be a great player somewhere else. And you're doing this all now in the vision of a head coach that, though he has an incredible name value, he's done big things in his career, and Frank DeBoer maybe doesn't always inspire 100% faith just because some of the first-year hiccups. So you're giving a club who has been at the very top, who believes they should be there and will stay there and will, for the foreseeable future, be one of the top 1, 2, 3 teams in Major League Soccer, looking at CCL thinking, maybe we should be a little worried. Looking at their star players and saying, man, 2 out of 3 are kind of question marks for us and big investments. And looking at the rest of their roster and thinking it's not quite as rock solid as it seemingly was just 6 months ago.
So the quick answer to your question would be yes.
Yes, that's what I should
They've
have gone
with.
They've
lost 3 center backs. Yeah. So in CCL, they'll potentially be starting Jeff Lorenowitz and Miles Robinson, or maybe even Franco Escobar at center back. But the other thing would be the point that you made about Frank DeBoer, and I think there has to be some of that in this LGP move. Of he didn't win the locker room, so then you either need to get rid of
LGP
him.
Never had a bad word to say about Frank. Even at the All-Star game, when asked about it, had just nothing but nice.
But even if, let's say that was a whole thing that was blown out of proportion.
Yeah, it probably was.
He still clearly didn't have that group. And so now you build a new group. If he's the guy that you're locked in on and you say, this is our guy, then you have to build a group that he does believe in, that believes in him, that maybe fits the way he wants to play. Because the other part about what happened was, it felt like coming out of the time with Tata, it was like, this is how all the pieces fit together. And then we know how this team makes sense. And then last year was like, I can't find a formation where everyone gets on the field. I can't get the best out of Tito Vialba. I can't find a good spot to play Pogba. Now Pogba's gone after he was supposed to be a starter coming in last year. So you have all these things going on. And I guess now is the part where he kind of tried to work with the roster last year. And if he's your guy, then you're resetting it going forward. But for your bold prediction of an MLS team going to CCL final, all of the things we've talked about so far on the show in NYCFC and Atlanta have not made that look like
life. Hey, Seattle's still out there. Seattle's got a pretty good route. They would play maybe Tigres in the semis if they knocked off the teams in front of them. And then I think LAFC.
Are they starting Jonathan Campbell at center back?
Yeah, well, TBD. A lot of time to go. Garth, you got time, man. That's Don't true. Worry about it. Get your guy in whenever you get him in. All right, let's go to the mailbag and get out of here. 401-206-0 MLS.
Say, I'm way less concerned about Atlanta than I am about some other teams.
Who? Give me a quick list. You don't have to give me any details. I just want to know who they might be.
Colorado, because their set piece production from last year, unsustainable.
Word is that they do have some signings coming down.
So they need to get that done. Montreal, they haven't had a good defense for years.
But none of these teams have the same expectations, and that's why the worry is.
Montreal's in CCL. They always expect to compete in CCL. Their only move this offseason is to bring in Rommel Kyoto, who plays left winger, which is the same position that Piatti plays, which is the same position that Lapalainen plays.
Potentially the same position Bojan would want to play.
Their roster is so unbalanced and defensively questionable. The Red Bulls, I guess it's going to go all in on play the kids. Let's see what Brian White and Tom Barlow and Matthias Jorgensen and Jared Stroud can do in 2020. The fans are going nuts about it, understandably. But yeah, that might not work. But the Red Bulls, at least on paper, have a spectacular defense, and we've seen them do that in the past. Philadelphia, low-key worried about them, because how did they get into the final third last year? Harris Madunian. Every time we needed to progress the ball, give it to Harris, and that left foot was magic, and they don't have him anymore.
So I'm going to cut you off here, and you can go read Doyle's column breaking down sort of the Eastern Conference as it currently stands, and what, Tuesday the Western Conference drops, Doyle?
Tuesday.
MLSsoccer.com, the MLS app, of course, the content stream.
And then San Jose. Still worried about San Jose.
Start up right now. Derek Alishman in the mailbag here says, here's a suggestion for you guys. You should dedicate one Monday, either the first of last of every month, to talking about small market teams, hence Small Market Monday. They're all big in our eyes, all right? They're all big enough.
Does he mean small market or small budget?
I think we should. That's a good point. Let's do small budget, and then let's just go straight to the text line for an anonymous person, I assume from Cincinnati, that says, talk little FC Cincinnati, and who do they need to get better themselves? Do they need attackers? Yes, they do. Why not go out and get a veteran like BWP who can help not just with the goals, but the clubhouse as a vet surrounding this new fun team? Well, the fun part is that I don't know that they're fun yet, but Doyle, FC Cincinnati.
That midfield might be fun.
No, they just...
State of. They signed Madunian, so they have Madunian.
They signed Madunian, he would have been the best player on this team by a mile last year. In Bertoni and Cruz, they have two guys to play in front of him who can just do all the running, all the ball winning, and let Madunian just sit in front of that veteran central defense and clean up, which is kind of similar to what he did in Philadelphia. A source told me earlier today that they're about to announce an attacker and also told Sam Seschkel.
Paul and Sam are reporting Yaya Kubo from Ghent.
Yuya Kubo.
My bad.
Japanese international can play as a center forward or on the wing or as a second forward. My guess is he plays as a left winger, and I can confirm that is indeed the signing.
He's not the center forward?
I don't know if he's going to be the center forward.
That seems to be the biggest hole on this team.
Yeah, it does.
It's Rashawn Daly, Wingers, Aaron Maddox.
Winger. You know all the backup forwards.
Ethan Zubek's
just rolling off your tongue.
Well, big Zubek guy, obviously.
Okay.
Brandon Vasquez.
Yeah. And Fernando Adi.
I don't think Fernando Adi is going to be there much longer. So I think there's going to be a second DP signing in the winter and then a third in the summer. The second DP signing will be, if Kubo ends up being the forward, then the second DP signing will be a winger. But if he ends up being the winger, then the second DP signing will be the forward. So Cincinnati are going to be a lot better than they were last year. They still don't look like a playoff team to me.
Last one here, Clark from Portland. He was in Kansas City this winter visiting the in-laws. I saw him at the Nutcracker Ballet, and he says, I was not excited to be recognized. I just caught off guard. Good to see
Man,
you, Clark.
Celebrity really hits you when you least expect it.
You know, go to Kansas City, and you're just... People are just handing you free drinks and patting you on the back, and you're like, where's my bodyguard?
Key to the city, what are you going to do with that?
Yeah, exactly.
Useless.
Anytime I get recognized, my mind snaps to, this must be an old classmate from high school who I just don't recognize. So I always go in there, hey, so good to see you again. And people are always like,
never seen you before. I've never seen you. I only use it as a way to tell my wife that I should stay in New York City and continue this soccer dream. But Clark wants to know how many goals Chris Wondolowski is going to score in 2020. I don't do these things. I don't make predictions like this. So if you guys want to take this one.
You made 10 bold predictions.
I did, but I did not. I'm out of the Chris Wondolowski prediction game.
I'll say he gets 10. One more year with 10 goals.
I believe he will, too. That's but not a prediction. I just it's a gut belief.
It's just a belief.
That's it. Extra time value. At MLSsoccer.com. You got a number, Dave?
I'm going to say this. I think of your 10 bold predictions, I'd say 8 were not bold.
Oh, that's the end of the show. We're out of time. Anders says I can't even respond to that.
Andrew, let me go into a list of why you're not bold.
Extra time at MLSsoccer.com. Hit us up there, 401-206-0MLS. Text line is back open. We're monitoring that one. Thursday is the Super Draft, 12:30 p.m. Eastern. ESPN app, YouTube, on ESPN's channel. ESPN on Facebook, ESPN on Twitter. You can watch all of it there. Doyle will be feeding you information about what goes down. I'll be in Miami. We'll have people all around the U.S. So tune into that one. We won't be here. So enjoy this show. Until then, we'll be back on Monday. Thanks for listening, everybody.